Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Want to tell the story of your small business? Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Coming up today, how much is too much when it comes to bosses sharing details of their personal lives with their employees, and how a 24/7 convenience store gently discourages panhandling and loitering. Those stories after this. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. CEOs have long led with swagger, preaching about their successes and keeping their insecurities, failings, and intimate moments out of public view. Now, in some offices, the image of the polished boss is starting to fade, as chiefs find that bearing it all, even the bad stuff, can be good for business. Wall Street Journal management reporter Rachel Feinsig spotted the trend. Rachel, wow, what's up with this?
Yeah, I mean, we have these CEOs who are kind of sharing it all, the good and the bad, talking about how they have imposter syndrome, how they feel like they don't know what they're doing on the job, sharing really personal stories with employees, with investors. I mean, it's definitely, you know, not happening everywhere. We still have a lot of traditional CEOs out there, but it's a trend that I started to notice in my coverage of executives.
Does this mean it's necessarily younger executives who are doing this?
That's a good question. It's something I thought about, because I did find a few CEOs who were doing this were young, but some of them were older. I mean, the CEO of Cooley, which is a law firm, you know, is kind of your typical CEO in a more staid industry, and he's not, you know, particularly young. So I don't think it's necessarily a millennial trend. Hmm. It may have started with younger CEOs. It may have started with tech, but I think it's kind of spread beyond that at this point.
You can't even pin it down to certain industries, huh?
No, it's really widespread. Like I said, a lot of this cultural stuff usually starts with tech and then kind of goes from there. But yeah. I was surprised and intrigued to see it, like I said, in industries like law and retail.
Yeah, it's funny. You opened this story with this woman who shares so much, right, about like she was throwing up at Burning Man, and then she said she'd pay somebody $100,000 if they could find her a husband. I mean, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she is super, super open, but she says that there's like a business case behind it. You know, she says like, if people feel they know me, they're going to give me more money. And she also told me that she does it because she doesn't want investors like expectations to run too hot. She doesn't want to be like the number one company in their portfolio, because she doesn't want to disappoint people.
Wow. How about that? So do you think that's something that folks like her have been taught, or is that instinctual? You know, did you learn that in graduate school?
I think it's instinctual. I mean, I think that there is more talk about CEO authenticity. Like, I think that these are concepts that people are thinking about when they think about leadership today. I think CEOs have to be more accommodating and kind of tone down the power a little bit because of things like activist investors. So I think it's all on that spectrum, but I think for these CEOs, it really comes from inside of them. I mean, a few of these CEOs told me, like, look, this is just how I am. Like, I don't really know another way to be.
How about the guy who took over like the plus size clothing change, and he said something to the employees like, I'm the least qualified person to be here. What was that about?
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, didn't have much operating retail experience and went in, and, you know, the company was in a bad spot, and was basically like, please tell me everything you know. Like, I need to learn. Can you help me? And he says, like, it really encourages collaboration and new ideas. And I mean, the employee that I talked to there seemed like really happy with his style.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal management reporter Rachel Feinsig. She's written a great piece entitled Now Emoting in the Corner Office, the Oversharing CEO. And there was someone in your story. Is it Brené Brown? She made that TED talk on vulnerability.
Yeah. She's kind of like the vulnerability queen.
Yeah. She said you have to have a clear intention why. So you can't just go spewing stuff, right?
Yes, her point was like, don't go just sharing willy-nilly, like especially in an office setting, you have to have a reason and be doing it, you know, for a clear purpose, you know, in terms of developing people or, you know, moving something forward in your organization.
What about crying? Does that go too far?
I feel like crying is a whole other story that I like probably should write at some point. But yes, I have talked to CEOs, not for this piece in particular, but who cry in front of their employees. And, you know, I think it is an extension, like we were talking about this whole authentic leadership movement.
Yeah. So interesting. You use the word movement. Does this definitely see it that way? This is not limited to a handful of folks. It's growing.
I think so. Like I said, I see the movement as like authenticity and openness and people wanting to feel like the CEO isn't just sitting in some ivory tower. I do think like younger employees especially are demanding that. So I think that's the movement. I think these folks are maybe on one end of the spectrum, but I think they have a lot to tell us about kind of where this trend is going.
Thanks, Rachel. Wall Street Journal management reporter Rachel Feinsig. A 7-Eleven in California has found a way to keep people from panhandling and loitering outside the store. Crank up classical music. The Modesto Bee, says Suki Sandhu, who owns the franchise in Modesto, said his customers tell him they feel safer since he started blasting symphonies and occasional operas over outdoor speakers. Manuel Souza, who's homeless and jokingly referred to himself as part of the riffraff, says once the music started, the riffraff left. Mr. Sandhu says the classical music is part of a 7-Eleven program that encourages non-confrontational methods to reduce loitering. He says it eliminates any risks faced by clerks when asking panhandlers to leave. Another method employed at some stores is a device that emits a high-pitched screech, similar to a mosquito buzzing in your ear. Clerks turn the device on and off as needed. Mr. Sandhu says classical music is more effective, and he plans to introduce it at other stores he owns in Central California. Convenience stores and other businesses and public facilities have used classical music and the mosquito device over the years to repel panhandlers, homeless people, and loitering teenagers. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. That's also where you can catch our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. You could send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.